Holy moly, guacamole, as the young kids say. My name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. Today is April 19th, 2024, and it's 1:53 p.m. It's a Friday, and the market just went down a lot. So the market is closed, but the market since it opened has just really only gone down today. I mean, just to say some pretty big red numbers, we have Soxel, which is the semiconductor ETF that tracks, like, you know, most of the semiconductors, is down almost 12%. Micron is down 4.43%. ARM is down 16%. Broadcom down 4%. SMCI down 22%. We have NVIDIA down almost 10%. AMD down almost 6%. It is nuts. So semis are down big. So is tech. Let me go and check real quick Netflix. Netflix just had earnings yesterday after the bell, and Netflix is down today 9%. So huge correction. Do I think this is a crash? It's hard to say with only one real big sort of down day. I mean, we've gone down 6 days in a row so far, and it's been pretty mild, maybe. Like, you know, mild might be downplaying it just slightly, but today was probably the straw that broke a lot of people's backs. I know I just, you know, listed a lot of tech stocks. Some of you might be thinking, like, okay, what about retail, Junie? What about retail? Well, retail is up, not by a lot, maybe like maximum, like up 1%. But these following stocks are up right now. That's Ralph Lauren, Abercrombie & Fitch, Birkenstock, Target, TJ Maxx, Ross, Lululemon, Starbucks. All of these are considered to be in what I call the Becky Index. It's not something that I originally created. It's just like a meme on the internet on Wall Street Bets talking about what stocks Becky might be interested in. And it goes to show that, I mean, some days there are just standout stocks, and sometimes, you know, tech does cool off and some of that money does go into retail. And we saw a lot of that today, though not a lot of money went into retail, but we see retail being green. And on top of that, there is SPY and QQQ. Now, SPY is down 0.9% and QQQ is down 2%. For people that are coming from Wall Street Bets, or traders that are coming from Wall Street Bets, this might not sound like a big deal. It's like, oh, it's just a percent. Oh, QQQ is only down 2%. I've lost a lot more than that. And that's subjective, right? Like, you've lost more than that. But in the grand scheme of things, like, a 1% down day is huge for an ETF like QQQ or SPY. And QQQ being down 2% is also very huge. And it's nothing to sort of, like, just, you know, call it like something that just happens, right? This is a pretty big event, QQQ going down 2% in a day. I have no idea if market open on Monday will be green or not. Maybe we see a dead cat bounce, aka, you know, the market goes down so much it's due for some sort of bounce, aka even dead cats or cats, when they hit the floor, they bounce at least a little bit. That's where the metaphor comes from. So I know it's so sad. but yeah, we'll see if the market gaps up or opens up on Monday green. That would be nice, having a little breather. But really, after today, I don't see it being all that shocking if we continue red on Monday either. Today is definitely one of those days where you're going to look back on maybe a few months from now and be like, wow, I really should have bought more, right? Like, this is a prime candidate day for one of those moments. From market open till the market close, it was just doom and gloom. There was no really optimism or feeling of good ever. Like, it was just market just constantly went down for tech, which is where a lot of people are making their gains, including me. You know, I'm talking about my gains, or my losses rather, this day today. On my main account, which I trade with about like 300K this year, I'm up 25K for the year so far, but today I lost 10.8K. None of that is realized, though, so the chances of me losing more is just as equal as me gaining some of that back. So right now, very, very thankful that I'm up 25K for the year, but that can all change next week. I have no idea. AMD earnings are next week. I have 400 shares of AMD that are not covered with covered calls. I just have 400 shares. So I would very much like some sort of bounce to maybe then make covered calls make sense. But that's a long shot. I mean, I'm pretty far away from my cost basis, even though I've had covered calls on pretty much the entire time. It's just this correction is pretty swift. And that's is a fault of covered calls. Is it's they don't necessarily protect you all the time, at least in a way that's effective or that makes sense, especially if the stock goes down too fast. But we might touch on that a little bit later. I'm also invested in Reddit, a little bit of Reddit. Like Reddit's barely 4% of my portfolio. And NVIDIA, CrowdStrike, and Costco. Costco remained relatively strong today, so I feel pretty good about my Costco position. I'd love my Costco position to be called away, letting me have cash to work with my AMD and NVIDIA, but beggars can't be choosers. I took a pretty big loss today. Again, unrealized, but a 10.8K loss. So we'll see what happens with Costco and what I do with it next week. Next up, talking about my 5K challenge account. Since I opened it in November of last year, the 5K challenge account is up about 30.91%. So that's pretty cool. And then year to date, it is up 9.13%. And just doing some quick math on my main account, because I can't do this in my head. 25,000 divided by 300,000. So I'm up 8.3% on my main account. And then SPY is, let's see, SPY stock year to date, it is up 4.76%. So I'm almost double of the return of SPY in my main account. And then almost again double on my 5K account. So that feels pretty good. On days like today, what I personally like to do is just run through that calculation like I just did right now on the podcast. Is I take a look at my, you know, smaller account, I look at my main account, and then I just like compare my returns to SPY, and I say, like, is this all worth it? You know, is me touching my own money and using my own strategies, is it worth it in the long run? You know, if I'm not beating SPY, I think it's a really good case in point to maybe just invest in SPY and call it a day. But I do find this hobby really fun and interesting. I think there's a lot of room to grow and add your own flair and style into it, which is what I like particularly about it. But it just takes some time to get there. We can't just expect that, you know, overnight we're going to be able to learn what it's like to make a lot of money and then know also how to not lose a lot of money on the way down. It takes a while. It's not going to be some magic turnkey solution where, you know, you sign up for someone's like thousands of dollars a month options course and you're going to suddenly know how to trade. You need to go through these sort of market fluctuations yourself and then learn firsthand of what it takes to do position sizing correctly. Or, you know, you make a lot of gains. What does taking gains off the table feel like? What does, you know, closing out of position before it gets even more red feel like? A lot of the stock market trading, a lot of things that you'll learn in your life just in general have to do with a lot of your own personal experiences learning that specific topic. And if you say, for example, get got one time, maybe that's your first time was, you know, Friday of, you know, April 19th, 2024, the day of this recording, you know, it'd be a shame if you just quit. Not saying that you should sort of revenge trade to make it all back like next week, because that is going to end in a disaster. There's no success story, right, that you could look up that will be good for you. It's very rare. I would highly advise against it. But just know that if you do get got, a lot of other people get got too. I'd say most people get got at least once in their trading career, because otherwise we're just kind of in an aloof, right? Like you would just think that you can make an infinite amount of money, and being human, we are all inherently just a little bit greedy. We got that little bit of, greedy ego in us where it needs to be checked, because otherwise you enter the stock market and all you do is win. It only makes sense to put in more money to make more money, but it's not until you get got or you lose a lot in a day or maybe over a course of a month, a few months, that you start to learn like, oh, okay, so next time when I'm up a lot, you know, maybe I'll consider taking some off the table. Or, oh man, I didn't exit this red position early enough. Maybe I'll look out for these signs next time. Imagine the trader that gets got, but instead of saying, okay, I'll look for these signs next time, or I'll get out, you know, with my gains next time with these metrics, instead of asking themselves those questions or holding themselves to those standards, they just quit. It'd be a shame, because you have all this success, or you've learned so much and dedicated so much time to learn this new topic, and you suddenly quit. And I think, you know, I play a fine balance. There's a very fine line that I tread on of like making sure that you don't feel pressure to trade, because you don't want to do something that's inherently stressful, but you also don't want to encourage people to quit. So just like anything in life, it's going to be about moderation. If you need to take a break, which you probably should do if you've, you know, realized a big loss, because you don't want to fall into revenge trading. Imagine the newer investor that, you know, had an amazing run in 2023 when everything's going up, and they keep the position sizing the same, maybe even a little bit bigger with including their profits, and they encounter a day like today. What separates a, you know, a junior investor from a maybe a more seasoned, like intermediate investor, might be the difference of revenge trading the next week or not, right? Like maybe the junior investor that has made these sick gains, because everyone did, right? When the market goes up, there's a lot of people that are correct, okay? And that could lead to a little bit of false confidence. And what happens is the junior might lose, let's say, for example, 10K today, and then next week they set a goal for themselves to make the 10K back. The intermediate investor might lose the 10K today and then say, you know what, next week I'm going to start just looking at stocks and buy a little bit of shares of each of the stocks that I wanted it for a long time. You know, maybe the junior makes it big the next week and makes it back, right? But if you really let the numbers play out, if you're buying options, right, especially, you have about a 30% chance to win. And if you're trying to make back the gains that you lost today, you're going to have to bet a lot. And that could end up in a very catastrophic loss, much worse than 10K the junior lost that day. So I guess the, you know, just to summarize this point is don't revenge trade, or make sure you try your best to not revenge trade. It's hard to know whether or not you're revenge trading with any of your, you know, trades that are going to be following up next week. If you do decide to trade next week, is, you know, how do I know that I'm not just trying to make my money back so quickly? And just make sure, you know, whatever you've been doing, I guess, you know, keep your plays the same size or smaller. I guess that's number one. To some of you, it might seem really obvious, but again, like to a junior investor, some people might be like, okay, I lost 10K today. You know what? I'm just going to throw 5K into some, you know, long call next week, hope for a bounce, and, you know, make back the 10K after an easy double up. I'm looking only for 2X, not 10X, so it should be pretty easy. And see, it's pretty easy to justify it if you're new, especially if your risk tolerance is higher. But that can easily just turn into a 5K loss and then extending your loss into minus 15K territory. There's a lot of showing of graphs, right, of these huge losses on Wall Street Bets. Some people losing like $10,000, some losing $15,000. Some losing $50,000, some people losing $100K, some people losing $120K. And you think to yourself, like, how does that happen? You know? And what you see on those graphs is that it's not a vertical line down. It's very much a it's a steep downtrend, but you see like little blips of it going up or sideways while it's going down very quickly. And it's because there's a large percentage of people that make these justifications that I'm talking about. It's like, oh, let's just put 5 canceled calls next week, and it's just an easy double up. I just need to be correct one day and I'll make it back. We're getting into very heavy gambling territory, which is very much normalized these days with sports betting, you know, movies, TV shows. Your gambling is just normal now. You see on TikTok, YouTube Shorts, whatever your favorite flavor of social media is. And with that, that's how it happens. Is we're not, say, for example, betting 120K at one time and then losing 120K at once. It's these series of bad trades and bad habits that are not being checked because they might not understand that they're revenge trading. If you don't revenge trade in the first place, you're more than likely not going to get caught in that large sweep downwards. But like everything that I usually say on this podcast, it's way easier said than done. It just takes a few times, though, for you to not to revenge trade, especially if you're a chronic revenge trader. Like, you'll know if you're a chronic one or not. Like, you're probably sitting on a pretty red loss, either year to date or just like in general, like on your all-time chart or something. And it only takes, and this is just a little glimmer of hope for you, right? It only takes a few times of you choosing to not revenge trade and then see that your trade would have turned out really bad just to break the cycle. Like, it doesn't take that many to make it feel like revenge trading is a bad idea, because a lot of people just justify it on the way down, don't see that they're revenge trading, and it just shows up, you know, at the very end of the month. Maybe you lost 80K, 120K, and without realizing what happened. So just try your best to be aware of it and let this be, like, I guess, your reminder heading off into this week that you don't need to make up any sort of loss that you lost last week, okay? Because you're probably listening to this on the Monday that this is released. If you took a big loss on Friday, you don't need to make that back today. You could have a goal of making it back. Like, I think that's perfectly healthy, having goals and aspirations. Like, don't get me wrong. But having that goal of making it back this week, like, we are locked in, crushing these spreadsheets type of energy. Like, you need to not not entertain that energy. Put that energy into your workday or, like, whatever is paying you your paycheck that's allowing you to have this dope hobby that we share that's called stock trading and or options trading. And taking a look at the macro conditions of just the environment right now, it appears that, you know, Israel and Iran are kind of beefing it out right now. Not sure over what, and I really don't care. I just rather have them, you know, not fight. That'd be kind of cool. like the political nerds or the, you know, the poli-sci junkies, I'm sure, are just fuming. But I don't care, dude. Like, just be nice to each other. Like, let's stop fighting and let's just get on to, like, just worrying about interest rates again. That'd be kind of cool. But yeah, segueing into interest rates, it looks like maybe interest rates are also probably not going to get cut this year because inflation is sticky, which is a metaphor for inflation isn't going down as much anymore as it was earlier this year and late last year. So to combat inflation, you know, rates do have to remain sort of a bit high, and maybe we see inflation start to tick back down. But having sort of interest rates being cut right now seems a little bit premature. As much as I would love the stock market to go up, I do say pretty often that I want my money to count. I want my money to matter. So if that involves interest rates being up just a little bit longer to combat inflation, I think that is something that I'm willing to do a trade-off for. Of course, I don't speak for the American people. This is literally just my opinion, but I'm allowed to have one, so take that. But isn't that crazy that we went from, you know, this very euphoric 2023, tons of gains, everyone is happy, and then, it's almost like a flip of the switch. We start worrying about inflation again, and then interest rates become part of news, and then we flip the mega switch, and then out of nowhere, and I mean out of nowhere for me, because I don't follow the news. I'm not like a news person, but someone flipped the mega switch, and now everyone's talking about Israel and Iran, and then that maybe is what's causing the market to go down super heavy. And oh man, dude, trading teaches you so many lessons. You know, like I am just really thankful for me and Slow talk about it a lot. I don't know if we talk about it on stream or maybe we just talk about it in Discord, but I frankly, or not frankly, I very much remember me and him talking about how that, you know, being thankful is really cool. We talk about gratitude a lot, but being thankful is really cool, and that I'm really thankful for my gains this year, and then that I was kind of disappointed in that I didn't make as much this year as I thought I could make, because NVIDIA was on such a tear, and I had been like sort of capping my gains a bit with covered calls and such. But I always make the joke of like, you know, the big man in the sky is giving me these gains, and you know, he will know when I'm being greedy. And so I've been like really making sure to keep my position sizing in check, which is why I've dedicated so many episodes this year, or so many minutes of any of my episodes this year, to position sizing. Like I really do feel like it was getting a little bit frothy. And I had a feeling like if I participated in the froth, I would have gone got. And I would have. Like looking back, if I had put my covered calls more further out the money, I might have been okay, or I may have made more in the short term. But long term, especially with today's drop, I would have gotten not destroyed, but I would have definitely gotten more got. Maybe like double the amount of losses. But I've been very lucky to take gains off the table when I did. Even though, you know, NVIDIA ran further, or like, you know, when I did enter back in NVIDIA, I did very defensive covered calls instead of like maybe like very bullish cash secured puts that were like closer to the money or something like that. And so it's about, you know, being proud of, for me at least, of to the trades I didn't do. You know, there's a little bit of copium there, right? Like if you only look at what went wrong because of the things that you did, it's going to be really hard to see the progress in your trading journey. Where, you know, these days, I don't think about earnings as a play at all anymore. I used to be really proud of being like, wow, I used to play earnings all the time. I didn't play this earnings and I would have been wrong. Hell yeah. But now it's such gut instinct for me, or natural instinct for me, to not play earnings that I don't necessarily like remind myself, oh, you know, I'm doing really well right now because I'm not playing earnings. I don't make that justification for myself anymore. But you might be in a position where, you know, you're just now starting to stop playing earnings, or you might just now be in a position where you stop buying like short-dated, long naked calls. And yeah, progress is subjective. I think we're all on different paths, but we all sort of share a similar goal of being able to trade long enough to have our lessons, you know, sort of pay off at the very end. Where, you know, if I had never, you know, I guess learned from my mistakes and I just quit trading a long time ago, I would have a lot less money than I would have right now. And that's not to sound superficial or gloaty or show-offy by any means, right? I'm realistically, the stock market is the reason why I can afford a down payment on a house, right? The stock market is the reason why I can tell my fiance, hey, let's have the wedding that you want. I don't want you to be super cheap and stuff. Like, I want you to make sure that you have the best day of your life, right? Like, I want you to have your wedding that you want. Oh, she's. By the way, I could feel your eyes rolling back. You're like, oh my gosh, she's gonna go crazy. She's very modest, right? If anything, I'm always telling her to spend more money and stuff. So, you know, this is me just, you know, extending the olive branch yet once again to her, just saying like, hey, I trust you, but I really want to make sure that you feel proud of that day and you own it. You are going to be you already are the most beautiful person in the world, but you're going to be even more beautiful on that day because of X, Y, and Z reasons. And I'm able to say these things because of the stock market, right? As superficial, as capitalistic as the stock market can be, I have a lot of emotional ties to the stock market because it's impacted me in a way very positively that, again, I can afford a house one day, right? A house is not a dream for me. It is a very realistic goal that I can meet only because of the stock market. This wedding that we're about to have in a year is only possible, again, from the stock market, at least comfortably, right? Like, I've worked high-paying jobs because, you know, my background is in tech, but like just the amount that I've made from the stock market makes it such a big buffer, gives me such a huge buffer to just comfortably afford a down payment, comfortably afford a wedding, right? Maybe I can't afford like a mortgage right now because, you know, your boy is doing this full time and I make maybe a fraction of what I used to make, but you know, this is fulfilling. I like it. You know, I'm having fun talking to a mic and, you know, trying to inspire some people. But again, the stock market enabled me to have all these things. And I think it is really cool that it's able to give you a lot of these things. It just takes a little bit of effort, right? Like, you know, I'd say making a huge amount of gains when the stock market is going up, that really doesn't take that much effort. Whether or not you buy long calls or you just buy stocks, that doesn't take a lot of effort. What takes a lot of effort is learning. And learning is honestly best done on the red days, especially because you might have extra time. You might have less money, maybe less time to trade. Because the stock market is red, that just gives you more time to learn. And when you're learning, that's where the hard work comes in. Like, how do I maybe lose less next time? How do I make sure that this huge loss doesn't happen next time? Stock market is really, really cool. It can enable a lot of things in your life, but you need to put some hard work in sometimes. And I think next week or this week, you know, as you're listening to this on the Monday, is a great time to start. And a part of the learning journey is finding a community. It doesn't have to be mine to learn with. I do provide a place to learn, though, twitch.tv/realthetagang. We trade together. We laugh together. We just chat together at twitch.tv/realthetagang Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. It's pretty cool. But again, you don't have to join my community. There's so many different trading communities out there, especially with the whole entire GameStop boom. But just make sure that whatever community you do join, you feel comfortable talking about your losses, talking about your trades that aren't going well, right? Because it could just start sounding like an echo chamber. You join one where only people talk about winners, and that's not very helpful for really anybody. Right? Like, we need to put the hard work in on the red days. Find the community that's willing to put the hard work in on the red days. And I think that'll help you a lot. You'll get a lot of cool perspective from people that are maybe more red than you, that they wish they would have done, or less red than you, that you can learn from. But you'll quickly understand or start to learn, like, hey, you know, I'm not in this thing alone. And a lot of that, you know, gut-wrenching feeling of taking a huge loss or seeing a huge loss on your screen after a big red day can feel, you know, a little lonesome. It's like, gosh darn it, I knew better. And you're maybe just staring at your phone screen or your desktop. And, you know, I'd say the majority of people that trade stocks don't have a community. So if you're listening to this right now, you know, this is just a reminder just to go find one. Trade with people that you feel comfortable being around. I think that's an amazing thing for anybody. And yeah, take care. I'm going to go into the outro, but for just a recap, next week or this week, don't revenge trade, or at least try your best not to. Those, huge, huge losses that you see on Wall Street Bets with those really steep downwards trends of like losing 100K, you again think like, how in the world does that happen? It starts usually with like a 1K or a 2K play trying to make it back. Then it starts escalating, trying to make that 1K or 2K that you lost, making that back along with your initial loss. It just compounds and compounds until you're out of money or you just realize like, wow, how did I get here? So keep revenge trading off the table. At least try your best not to. Find a community of where you want to trade. And I'll see everybody next time. Lastly, I want to give a huge shout out to my patrons. That's Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, Ensis88, B Schwartz23, Infinitude, Espresso Bean, Joe Quirt, EDC, Travella, Desserts, LJ Boy99, Kevlar22, Bachata Thug, Cube Suki, Nala, J Perkins86, Louis BG, Troop947, T Wall3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rustier, Steve Catsy, The Jester, Grandpa 95, Young Rich, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Sumatrix, KJ Martin, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Maestro XC, Banadushi, Theta Collector, Tyler LM97, Lord Skeletor, Major, Tecomi Elmo, Averillion, RS Schmitty, Y-Teen, Danube 9000, Danger 10, McFly, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Roosterd, Garrix, Loido, LeBoomer, Bearded Savage, Danghai, Bustin' Justin, Andy V, Arfman, Mimimeh, Vegeta Plank, Can't Make Money, IRL, Maloko, and Maltman 1856. Holy moly, the list is getting long. If you'd like to join Patreon or support me on Patreon, that's patreon.com/ThetaGang. Can't quite do the 1% section because the fiance just got home, so I have to go. But wishing you guys the best, and I'll see everyone next week. Bye-bye.